As mentioned by Maulana Musa, if there's anyone who has to do any work, finish, who is going to be sitting for sunnah, etika, parking his car, bringing his baggage, bathing, etc., go now and then get it done. Because afterwards, then you might not have time. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We were discussing this ayat and this particularly the phrase Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, on which ulama have written that roza has been made on every, has been made farad on every part of the body as well. Normally we understand roza, which is correctly understood also, that we should abstain from food and drink and our sexual desires from the end of sehri time up to iftari time. That is the farad of roza. And to give an example, that is the structure of roza. Like you have the structure of a building, but having the structure up, you are happy, but it's the building is not complete. The walls have to go up, and even when all every major things are done, you are still not satisfied. You want the tiling done, you want the carpeting done, all the finishing. So like that, that is the structure of roza, the three farz of roza. And the completion of it, the finishing of it is that a person keeps roza of the tongue also. He doesn't speak anything which is haram, etc. Roza of the eyes also. He doesn't look at anything which is haram. And roza of the ears, roza of the heart and the mind, roza of the stomach. That is, no doubtful food must enter the stomach. And then that a person after all that has this fear whether my roza is accepted or not. We haven't got any guarantee, and Allah is the absolute. There is nobody to govern Allah or to tell Allah. And Allah, He does as He pleases. So we can only beg in the court of Allah Ta'ala after trying our best. With regard to this, we had discussed the roza of the tongue, that is, that a person shouldn't speak anything haram. And how to train for that in the month of Ramadan, speak that which is only absolutely essential. And even for all of us who are here today, who did not come previously, what we should try and do is hardly speak, only what is absolutely essential. And if a person really wants to train himself in this, then he should keep in mind what he spoke. At night when he lies down to sleep, he should think today what I spoke, how much of it was necessary, and what was the motivating factor. That is, deep down in the heart, why did I say this? I was being sarcastic, I was being cynical, I was trying to amuse somebody. What was my purpose of saying all that? If a person does this, and you don't need an hour's muraqabah on that, a minute, half a minute, but a person will see what great benefit he will get. Just like previously, our watches, we had to wind them every night before sleeping. Normally, a person would wind his watch. It takes him 1 minute, half a minute to wind the watch, but it works for 24 hours, 30 hours. Like that, this muraqabah is half a minute. But it will work 24 hours, 30 hours it will work. It will guide a person, and a person whose tongue has come under control, that person has been blessed with a very great gift from Allah Ta'ala. One Sahabi asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that man najat, in what is our salvation? To get najat, there are problems, there are things that the times are hard, difficult, lot of fitnas. What is the way out? Of all our problems, what is the way out? And the first thing Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Be the boss of your tongue. Don't let the tongue be your boss. Let the tongue does as it wants to. It blabbers and talks just whatever out of control. A car that is out of control is a big problem. And if the wife is out of control, everyone know what a big problem that is. When she is in a rage and a temper, and she's just raving of herself on her own, just do what she wants to say. You don't know, you can't stand there, you can't escape from there also. So when the tongue is out of control, is the most dangerous thing. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to complete that hadith in which there is great wisdom, but very briefly for now, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتَكَ, and let your house be sufficient for you. Stay in your house. Go out of your house only for necessity. Deeni necessities and dunya's necessities. But without necessity, don't leave your house. In fact, that is also of controlling of tongue. When you're mixing with friends, etc., when you're socializing, your tongue then inevitably you start talking. So staying at home, your tongue will be greatly under control. And wabki ala khati'atik, and cry over your sins. And all this, the tongue is the cause of sin. Going out of the house is the cause of sin. And cry over your sins. Sins are our worst enemies. And there is no country that is our enemy. We refer to some countries that are the enemies of Islam. But no country is our enemy. No nation is our enemy. We refer to certain nations, they're the worst enemies of Islam. Our enemies are our sons. And Allah uses then whichever nation He wants to, and whichever country He wants to. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. We use the more worse sinful people to punish the less sinful people. When we do wrong, Allah does not come Himself to punish us. He uses somebody. So He uses these countries to punish the Muslims. He uses these nations to punish the Muslims. But the cause of it is our sin. So yeah, in this hadith also, najat, salvation, the way out of problems is that you must not have sin. And the way that you don't have sin is to make tawbah and istighfar. You try and prevent yourself from committing sin as much as you can. And when you have still, you are human, you are going to err, you are going to make mistakes. Allah gave us the way out to make tawbah. So the tongue is a cause of great sin also. Anyway, we discussed that to some extent. And then the next is that the eyes, the guna of the eyes, a person must control his eyes. The eyes is a window of the heart. Right? To get into the heart, the eyes are used to get into the heart. Whatever you see, it has an effect on the heart. It's transmitted and it's registered in the heart. We all, perhaps we can even remember our grandmother or perhaps even great-grandmother. When we were 3 years, 4 years, a vague idea we got, a picture was taken by the eyes and it was fed in the heart. Many scenes when we were small, how long ago we remember all that what had happened. Allah has made the eye, so the eye must be also controlled. Allah has given the eyes. When a child is born, previously it was to a much extent, the eyes would just remain closed for a number of days. After that, the child will open. Now they start opening the eyes much more sooner. But anyway, Allah showed that I kept your eyes covered. I protected your eyes. When you have come in dunya, now you protect your eyes. Now we have given you your eyes, we have made them, they are perfect. Now it's for you to protect them. So in the protection of the eyes, yeah, while we are in itikaf, if we do a few things, then inshallah, we will find that inshallah, automatically, our eyes, we won't look at haram. One is that in namaz, they keep the eyes where they are supposed to be kept. One brother sent an email that he had practiced on that and he found that a great benefit he got already. So we should be protective and look after our eyes. So when we are standing in namaz, keep your eyes and keep your eyes open in namaz. Don't close your eyes. Even if you want to concentrate more, sunnah is more valuable than even your concentration. So you keep your eyes open and look at the place of sajda when you are standing. When you go into ruku, look at your feet. And also, when you look at your feet, you see your toes. And mostly for a person, the ugliest part of his body is his toes. And then realize that how I look, how my toes are. when you go into sajda, look at, focus on your nose. And this is also a great lesson. You think I'm a big know-all, and I've got my security. Even while I'm here in Tekaf also, on my phone I can see what's happening in my house. What's happening in this room now, in that room now, I can see in my shop. But you might think you know everything, but you can't see your nose. And there is no camera fixed on your nose also, that you can see on your ear, on your cell phone, to see that how my nose is, whether it's clean or what. And you can't see your nose, and worse than that, you can't see what's in the nose. If there's something sticking out, everyone else is seeing it and laughing at you in their minds, but you can't see it. So don't think that I'm a big know-all and I know everything. Then when we are in a sitting position, look in your lap. When you make salam, look on your shoulders. The kiram and katibin are 100% there. And if Allah opens the eyes of the heart, and Allah, this noor of Allah comes in the heart, then you will see those malaika. And then you will feel that sweetness of iman, seeing these malaika. This doesn't mean physically you will see them, but with the conviction of the heart you will see them. And that comes also when the strength of your iman has reached that level. The Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum were blessed with that level of iman by the company and sohbat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like today, our mental iman is that a lion can't harm you without the command of Allah. A snake can't harm you without the command of Allah. Fire can't harm you without the command of Allah. But that conviction in the heart, if you see a snake, you'll forget everything. You'll mess your trouser and you'll run from there. So the Sahaba, the iman had reached that level, that not only a mental state of iman, but it was totally imbued in them. That they, when they came to the continent of Africa, they addressed the animals. They were not frightened for that. They spoke to the animals. And they told the animals, we are the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we are coming to occupy this place. You people live here. And it was seen openly that the lion is going with its cubs. That the wolf is going with its little ones. All were just leaving. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to the river Nile. That if you are flowing on your own accord, then we are not in need of you. And if you are flowing by the command of Allah, then start flowing. So this was that iman of theirs had reached that level. We can't even imagine such an iman, Sahaba's iman. Ours, that mental state of iman is also sufficient for us, and also our iman will be weaker. But Allah gave us a great, great other consolation. That the people who will come of latter times, even if they just do 10% of deen, they will then najat, and they will get their salvation. And not only then, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people who come in that time, which are our times here, each one of them, their ibadat and their value will be like 50, not the Sahaba asked of them, no, 50 of the Sahaba their value will be. So today bringing iman is a very great thing. And why we have come here is not really for itikaf also. It is not really for ibadat. That is all part of it. That is all. It has to be there. But it is to develop this iman, our Islam. And to take our iman to whichever level that we can. That we can see all these things. Like you see a strange woman, you don't see her as somebody that is that you are being tempted. You see her as the fire of Jahannam. That you realize that haram and guna, you see it like that. And today also, there are those buzurgs, doubtful food comes, they can make out this is doubtful food. Haram food they can make out. People like us, we can't. We just eat everything what comes in front of us. But these people can clearly make it out. It all depends on the level of iman. And that level of iman we have to develop. Then a person, what is talking also, he'll be under control. As our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's beautiful poem, Raftar, Guftar, Kirdar, all these things will change according to iman. Raftar, how you walk, your mode of walking, your mode of sitting, your mode of standing. Some people stand also with a style. Even standing which is straight forward, but one leg has to be front little bit, a hand on the waist here, like in style we stand, as though you are practicing, you're going to be, a film is going to be made of you, you're acting. Many people become actors in all this. So that all, your raftar, your guftar, your way of talking also will change. Your kirdar, your character will also change. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that if you put two alims in front of me and they don't speak a word, they just sit there for about 5 minutes, I will be able to say whose tarbiyat is made and whose tarbiyat is not made. That everything will show already. And this has nothing to do with ilmul ghaib or with even kash. The signs are very clear. The example we commonly give, your car is taking a lot of oil. Every time you go, you check up, you are needing 0.5 liter oil. You're needing 1 liter oil. You go to your mechanic and you ask him, he walks to the back of your car and he sees the exhaust has burned black. So he tells you the rings in the, right in the middle of your block, your engine, your rings are finished. You have to replace your rings. So it doesn't mean that your mechanic is a great sahib-e-kashf, a great buzurg who gets kashf, and from looking at the exhaust, he can tell you, he can see what's happening in the middle of your engine. It's not like that. It is a fact of his profession that he can clearly make out this. So just like that, a person who is in this field, a sheikh who went through with his sheikh and with experience, he can see from the character of a person, his sitting way, his talking way, that when you sit, for example, how do you sit in front of your sheikh? Like a big, like a lord, you're making muqabla with him. So with your sheikh in front of him also, you'll be humble also. You won't be like an equal to him, that I can also sit opposite you like this. No. Like for example, even after namaz, you will sit sideways rather. You won't sit facing your sheikh like this. Everything you will keep in mind, everything. So this all will change when the level of iman. According to the level of iman, a person's food will change also. He will enjoy more simple food, healthy, wholesome food. Doubtful food, he will have great doubts in that food. He will be able to see it also. In his drinking also, he will enjoy water. And alhamdulillah won't just come out from his tongue, from the bottom of his heart. But today water, we got no taste for water. Zamzam, we got no taste for it. Olive oil, we have got no taste. We dislike this taste. Yes, what we will like, all chutneys, different kinds of chutneys. Some friend of ours was going to the UK from here. They wrote or they phoned him from there. And they said from Steers, this outlet, food outlet, there are chutneys, 6 types of chutneys you must bring with us from there. So this is the taste that has gone like that. Today we don't enjoy Zamzam. Yes, we enjoy the black Zamzam. When the Pepsi is on the table, the Coke is on the table, then that is nice. But if it is ordinary water, Zamzam, it hasn't got a... According to one's level of Iman, a person will start enjoying, he will enjoy the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Western lifestyle, he will not only that he will not follow it, not only that he'll dislike it, he'll abhor it. He won't be able to take Western lifestyle. He won't be able to wear a shirt. He won't be able to wear a trouser, Western trouser. These things here, he just won't be able to. This is all according to Iman. So anyway, and all the talks of ours, they might seem a bit harsh also for some people. And it is intended also to be harsh for some people. And mashallah, many of our friends, I don't know if all, but many of them, they say the talk was exactly only for me. And what my inner diseases are. In fact, one lady wrote, it says that you make bayan in such a way as though you know what is happening in the inside of our houses. All those things also, you open it up. One lady wrote, you don't mince your words. You speak, you say it as it's supposed to be. And this is not, we don't shy away from it, and we don't ask for maaf. But we ask you to say Jazakallah for that. This is like a person who is in charge of the bride. He doesn't bry that meat which is in a deep freeze. Those people who are in a deep freeze, they don't come onto the grill to be the bride. They are still in the deep freeze. That meat which has been thawed, but it hasn't been the masalas, it hasn't been marinated, seasoned as yet. That also you don't put. But those that have been seasoned and marinated, and also you don't leave them on the side of the grill. You put them right in the fire. And when they are grilled properly, they're going to be enjoyed by everyone. And that is what we want. We want everyone that wherever you go, your wife must enjoy you. Your family must enjoy you. Your community must enjoy you. And for that, if you want to stay in a deep freeze, you can't. Nobody is going to enjoy you. If you are going to be not seasoned, not marinated, nobody's. But when you come and you come on the fire, and he'll put you in the middle where the actual heat is. So you'll have to endure that heat. And inshallah, if he's a good experienced person at the fire, he won't let you burn also. Before you burn out, he will take you off. And he'll tell the people now, yeah, this is ready now. And that is what we want. We come here to make you ready. That when you go from here, that people just, when they were that one piece, they say, today I had a late breakfast or late lunch. I'm not going to eat much. But when they eat the first one, they want the second, and they want the third also. So this is necessary. And for that I say, I don't apologize, and I don't ask for maaf also, but I expect you to say Jazakallah also. Though it may seem harsh and may seem hard, but it is, you have to be grilled also. So, and also the example of the Shaykh Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali written is like the person in the palace, king's palace. There is one person always who is appointed who punishes the people. He is in charge of that, to lash the people. Now, the prince also has done something wrong. So the king orders he must be given 10 lashes. Now that person is in a great dilemma. On the one side he has to do his duty. On the other side is the prince, the king's son. He's part of the heart of the king. So when lashing him, he'll have to be very careful. He can't lash him too hard also. And he has to do his duty also. Like that, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained, is the position of a sheikh. That all who are coming to learn the love of Allah, by Allah they are counted already amongst the lovers of Allah. So they are the ashiqeen of Allah. And for the ashiqeen, but yet the duty is you still have to lash them also. So you have to be very careful. So on account of that, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, every night when I go to bed, then I cry to Allah Ta'ala. That the Murideen came and I had to tell them what I had to tell them. And I had to tell them how it must be told. Properly, I had to call a spade a spade. I didn't have to shy away from it. But yet, these are great lovers of Allah who have come for the Islam, who have made sacrifices, left their homes, left their businesses, left their comforts and their luxuries. Who doesn't like to make his sehri at home? How the wife makes it, how you are used to your house, your town, going to the masjid, your place is fixed in the masjid. Everything, your iftari you are used to, but you have sacrificed all that. So what great value of such people. So such people have to be valued very greatly also. But at the same time, the treatment also has to be meted out. So anyway, so the next, after we had discussed of roza of the tongue and roza of the eyes, we will discuss roza of the ears. The ears, they are such, the eyes, if anything haram comes, you just lower your eyelids and your eyes are closed. Our Shaykh's beautiful poem with regard to this, wasamne aaye, a woman appears in front. And was samne aaye, hum nabina ho gaye, we became blind. How you became blind? You just dropped your eyelid. And now you can't see her. You are driving on the road, or rather if you're a passenger, driver mustn't close his eyes. Driver has to watch. But you see, in the distance there's a woman. Now, close your eyes, look down, and when you estimate she has passed, then open your eyes again. Wasamne aaye, hum nabina ho gaye, wasamne se hat gaye, hum bina ho gaye. And when they not in front, again look, no problem. But when they in front, wherever you can, and like for example, you in the shop, your customer, you are buying, selling, keep your gazes low, and you can train yourself. And today we have been trained, actually trained, and we have been programmed that eye contact must be there. So much so that even on the TV, if you are watching, you are making eye contact. Though that is a dead thing. The screen, there is nobody living there. But you look in the eyes, and the way you feel that auntie is really looking at me only. And she's smiling and she's smiling at me. The films are making us the most stupid. Everyone knows a film is a fantasy. It's not the truth. It's fiction. It's just a made-up story. But how we follow that whole film and that story, and we discuss about it, and we say this one should. In one person in Bombay, my brother explained to me. He met him and he asked him, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to watch that." "But you went yesterday to see that film." He said, "I've watched it 10 times, and he's still going." "Why?" He said that one scene that comes, that there is a girl who is undressing, and just about when she's about to reveal the main parts of her body, a train passes, and now you can't see. So he said, "One day the train will be late." In India, the famous trains are late. He said, "One day the train will be late." 10 times. This whole media is making us the biggest stupids and the biggest fools. And we, the people with iman on Allah and His Rasul, and we fall prey to all these stupid things of these people. It's very, very sad. So anyway, so this eye contact, they teach us to have eye contact. And we must now program ourselves and condition ourselves that we won't have eye contact at all. In the beginning it will be very difficult because we are trained, we are brought up in that way. The whole environment, the whole media, the newspaper, the billboards, it looks like that auntie on the billboard, she's just looking at me. And stupid people think really she's looking at me. So all this year, person has now to train himself that you go to the bank also, the teller is an auntie, but your eyes are just down. All your work you do, you speak courteously, you don't have to be rude also, and you don't have to be so polite. You speak courteous, you are polite, no problem, but you don't have to make a joke there, unnecessary joke. You don't have to compliment her how she looks and all that. All those things are totally right out. So this all conditioning is necessary. So if in namaz we watch our eyes, inshallah there is a training ground. Out of namaz, our eyes will be controlled. But if we hear in namaz, our eyes are moving around, be sure your eyes are going to be not only outside, but even in namaz your eyes are looking at woman. You open the internet of your heart, which doesn't cost you a single cent also. And you, what pages your internet will open up for you of the heart. And some people physically, they come for etikaf, but they got porn on their phone. They got the dirt and filth on their phone. What kind of etikaf is that? So a person who looks after his eyes. And also while we are here, try to train ourselves to look down. Those who have seen Maulana Qasim Seemasab, one experience I have, other people must be knowing better. But he was to walk, his walking style was the sunnat style of walking as we read in the kitabs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That it looked like there was a little bit, the back leg, as you take the step, there was a little push in that leg. And this can easily be achieved if you look down. If you just learn to Maulana Qasim Seemasab was known that his gazes were always on the ground. So if we do that, rahmatullah alayh. So if we do that, one great sunnat. And there's also a sunnat of man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati. Today we don't walk in that way. That style of walking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that style we have to try and bring. And the easy way to bring it is to keep your eyes on the ground. So yeah, also while we are here, if we keep, another place we can train our eyes also is on the dastarkhan. Normally when we are on the dastarkhan, not only what is on the whole dastarkhan, 10 meters dastarkhan. From this end to that end, our first glance and everything, the menu is in front of us. And we determine, I'm not going to leave out anything from here. 5 types of savouries, each one I must taste of it. And our nazar is not only on that, but what's in the pot in the kitchen. That also we see already. And I must get everything, I'm not going to miss out anything whatsoever. So control our eyes, look down, what comes in front of you, eat. For a few days, remember that when you control yourself in halal, you will stay away from haram. And if you let yourself free in halal, all halal, wildly, you just go into it. You have to, the cow that grazes on the by the fence, that cow will go into the farmer's farm also next door, neighbor's farm. That cow is going to cross the border anytime. And the cow that crosses the border, us par dande parte hai. That farmer comes, what you doing in my farm? Eating the grass in my farm. Then stones are thrown at that cow. And the farmer comes with his sticks and hits that cow. Get out from my farm. Go to your farm. So stay in your boundary. And in your boundary, the more you stay in the center place, then you are safe. If you are on the borders, your trouser, try always, the ankles must not be covered. And you can have your trouser reasonably low, just above the ankles. But inevitably, the trouser will slip down. The trouser plays a game of drafts with you. Like two people were sitting in a train playing draft. And they were sitting, one was a fat man who feels a lot of heat in his body. One was a thin man who feels very cold. So the fat man every time opens the window because he wants air. And the thin man feels cold, he goes and closes the window. So the thin man closed it. So this big fat man, big bulk, he said, "What do you think you're doing?" He said, "I'm playing drafts. I close the window, it's your time to play the game and you move it down. Well, everyone, you have a move, I have a move. Both have their moves. So the trouser makes its move to move down. You make your move to pick it up again. But anyway, the trouser that is on the border, inevitably it's going to go into the danger place and into the haram and it's going to cover the ankle, the knee. So the ankle. So therefore, keep it well above. So even if it slips down 2-3 centimeters, it's still far from the border. So stay far from the border. That is safe zone. And if you are on the border, you are in danger zone. So like that, all halal also, stay with the basic things, even in the eating, even in talking, everything, stay in the middle, in the safe zone. You won't be in the danger zone. So, and also everything what is haram to be spoken is haram to be listened to. The eyes, we just got the eyelid, we can drop it. The ear, you cannot. But there is a treatment for that also. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was traveling by bus and the common public transport, they got music playing. Now, how can you close your ears? You can put your ears, but still the sound goes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had put his fingers in his ears when he had heard music. And he asked his friends, "Is that sound gone now?" But it is not so easy to every time. And in today's world, wherever you are. So, what Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that music was playing, he started his zikr. Little jar, little bit loud. So it's out, though it's falling in your ear, but it's not registering. Yeah. One is, you listen to you look at a woman. Sometimes your eyes, you are driving, you can't keep your eyes closed. You are looking at woman, but you have conditioned yourself that the picture of the woman doesn't register at all. And it makes no difference whether it was a tree or whether it was a woman. You don't allow it to register. You can condition yourself. You, first of all, you don't even look at a woman. But such conditions which are today so prevalent everywhere, that almost everywhere there are women. So even if your eyes fall, but don't let it register on you. Keep it away from registering. So the music also, especially in such public places where they are playing music, in your house you can control it. You got no music playing in your house, nothing. Sound of Quran coming in your house. A sound of zikr coming, sound of dua coming. And may Allah make our houses from one corner, one quarter of the house, Quran tilawat is coming. From another quarter, zikr somebody is making. From another quarter, somebody is engaged in dua. These are the things that should be coming from our houses. And when remember the law and the system of Allah, that there is no vacuum by Allah. When there isn't tilawat of Quran coming, there isn't zikr, there isn't dua, It won't be empty, it will be replaced with, eventually you will see TV will come in. Everyone wants to amuse himself, wants entertainment. Have the entertainment of Quran Sharif. Entertainment in the proper way, I don't mean in some singing way you're reading Quran or something. No, in the proper way. Then inshallah, automatically, any person who wants to get rid of TV from his house, the first thing start with ta'aleem in your house. I'll just mention this incident, it can be of benefit to many brothers. A person who was bi'at to Hadrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And his daughters came of age, grown up daughters, and they wanted to bring TV in the house. So, and the mother sided with them also. And they made up a strong front. And they say, we demand the TV. And he was a person, he could not even hear the word TV. Forget him bringing a TV. They insisted. And so much they said, it's his money, he's the owner. They say, his house, he's the owner. They told him, you get out of this house. His house, he must get out. And then all the money you owning, what our shares work out in that, in your money, there's no shares. While he's living, there's no shares of that. He's the sole owner. But they demanded their shares also. He was in a very, very difficult situation. He went to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat was living. He explained his dilemma. Hazrat said, no big problem, no big deal. Very easy. You tell them 23 hours, 50 minutes, you people do what you want to freedom. At my expense, I will foot the bill. You want to bring TV, you bring TV. You want to listen to music, you listen to music. 10 minutes, you listen to me. That we left ta'aleem in the house. Read Fazail-e-Aman, Fazail-e-Sadaqat, only 10 minutes. They saw it's a bargain. 23 hours, 50 minutes, we do what we want to. 10 minutes only, no problem, we'll sit for ta'aleem, what is it? They did it, they agreed, not even 2 weeks passed. He was coming home, he saw the TVs thrown out, and broken by them also. And they changed it, ta'aleem, have ta'aleem in the house. Have Quran Sharif tilawat, have zikrullah coming in the house, have da'wat in the house, have dua in the house, and then see this thing pulls Allah's rahmat. And when Allah's rahmat come, all this, otherwise good alims got TVs hidden in their cupboards. They also watching TV when no one. How everyone got on their cell phone, all the filth and dirt also all the time. But you bring these things in the house and see how those things will go away. So anyway, the eyes, you have got this, the eyelids to close the eyes. Ears, we haven't got anything that you can close the ears. But you just don't let it register. Whenever you listen to any of those things, then just you start with your zikr. On your, start reading Durood Sharif. Start reading and that things won't affect you. And this music has been planned. It has been narrated that al-ghina, ruqiyatu zina. That ghina, music, is the stepping stone of adultery, zina, fornication, getting involved in haram. As you learn, it arouses your feelings from inside. And then your desire comes that you want to see a woman. You want to chat with her. And what chatting ways there are today of with woman. And who is not involved in chatting? Eh? When a person starts chatting with a woman on the WhatsApp, or rather all the Twitter and what and what things, until she doesn't know how you look, she's chatting. But when she sees your picture, oh, old Dada Baji, or you see her picture, old Daddy Ma, then you run from there. And at that time, Shaitan works in such a way. He gives you a heart attack at that time. Inshallah, if time comes sometime, we will discuss that. Or just let's say it now, so that we can benefit from it. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, show me the haqiqat, reality of dunya. Let me see. Allah showed him the form of a woman in burqa. But like today's burqas, which have got more attraction, perhaps if just, she's just in a plain clothing, she won't have that attraction what she has got. And how many men, right, we are more attracted to women in burqa. Because of the way the burqas are, with all the bead work, and all the lace work, the shine on it, and all the different colors, and the designs also. The sleeves designed some butterfly burqa and some what all. The lady looks like a butterfly. Now who's not going to look at a butterfly? Farasha burqa and what all brand names and designs of burqas. So this lady with a very, very sparkling, shining, attractive burqa. And covered, whole body was covered. And only the left arm was left open. And so first the whole, she was covered. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Allah, she's covered. I can't see dunya. Let me see properly. What is dunya like? The left arm came out, glittering, shining. And from there you can gauge, if the arm is shining, the skin so beautiful, the rest of the body must be even so much more beautiful. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Allah, let me see even more that you have shown me the arm. Then she opened her face, the niqab, she opened it up. Oh lady, all wrinkles on the face, the cheeks are gone in, the temples are gone in, teeth have fallen out, one, two, yellow, long, dirty teeth. And how filthy she looks. Now you want to run from such a woman. Now you don't want to go near, you want to run. As you want to run, she takes out her right hand with a dagger and she stabs you. You are being disloyal to me. You are being unfaithful to me. You just leave me like this. You make so many approaches and you tell me you love me. And I am everything. And now when you see me, you run to run from me. Then she stabs you. That is a term according to different occasions, not every condition. That's what a heart attack is. When a person now gets that heart attack, if it is due to build up of fats or something else, but some people are thin, they never are so thin, but suddenly heart attack. This is that when this happens, now this is that depression that comes and it knocks you from, you don't know, a TKO. You are knocked out in the first round of that boxing bout. And you are knocked out such a way you can't get up again. You can't even pick up your one toe. You can't stand up. It knocks you out like that. And the next is either you in the maid hospital, via the maid hospital, or directly to the mortuary. You are gone now to the Qabristan. So this is what this dunya is. So the temptations of this dunya, a person must be very, very careful about them. So anyway, with the eyes, you got your eyelid Allah gave you. Ears, just condition yourself that it doesn't register. And if you have that level of iman of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, actually take your fingers and put them in your ears. But with today's world, perhaps all the time you'll have to walk with your fingers in your ears. All the music, all the haram. So that is what a person should do. Yeah, in the khanqa, in order to gain control and keep roza of the ears, to forget controlling it, don't sit in company. When you sit to eat also, try and sit not with your friends. With your friends, you'll eat also more and you'll talk also more. And if you are sitting with somebody you don't know, and don't start learning who the person is. In the khanqah of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, people should spend 40 days in the same room. 4 months in the same room. At the end, they don't know one another's names also. They don't know from where they come, what is their occupation. And we, the first meeting, and the whole history comes out. You go to doctor also, you go for your work, but you're asking doctor from which town you come, which gham you come in India, and who is your family, and all the details, first meeting, the whole history of the person you have got already. So if a person, so sit with somebody and don't go into the history of the person. And some of our friends also, and this is also, we should take it as a total prohibition. Don't give telephone numbers to anyone, to one another. Some of them, they also see that who are the rich murids of the sheikh. And using the sheikh's name, they get through to the rich murids. And getting telephone numbers, they want other details then. And they make other contacts with the person. So don't give any telephone numbers, don't give any addresses, don't say, and we don't have to make any big hue and cry, that somebody is from this country and somebody, wherever they come from, the whole ummah is one. And the lovers of Allah are one family. We are just one family, that from whichever country you come, from whatever your background, very rich man, very poor man, whatever it is, we are all from one, we are one family. So don't get too personal with anyone. This is when all the familiarity breeds contempt. The more familiar you become, then you have a problem with the person. And you are now making jokes. At that time the person was not in a mood. And you and then make a joke and he becomes angry. A big fight erupts from there. So don't become too familiar. We have come here not, there isn't a socializing group. That we have come here and we're going to socialize with one another. And we're going to find out details. We have come here for our Islah. Primarily, we have come for our Islah. More than that, we have come for ibadat here. We haven't come to socialize here and to come and know who is who. Some of our friends, wherever we go, we see after one little bit meeting, who are the main people. Next, getting their phone numbers, making contact with them, etc. So that is not our purpose here, to get phone numbers and some make business contacts. Some make social contacts, some make whatever other contacts, but that we should avoid. We have come here for a purpose. So, try and eat also, sit in such a place where if you are not, if it's not, you don't, we are not being so hard and harsh also, a person feels comfortable with his friends to sit. But avoid the talking, that's the main thing. And if you can't, then put yourself in that punishment, punish yourself, sit with complete strangers. And don't start talking and anything. You'll see, the time you spend on food, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, no problem having nashta, breakfast. And nashta in Urdu is not only breakfast, a snack, any time's food. You go and visit somebody, asar time, say, chalo, nashta karlo. Doesn't mean you're going to make breakfast there, just a snack. So Hazrat Ji used to say, having breakfast, having a snack, with your friend, with your people, no problem. But this nashta, such a long mid, which isn't even in tajweed, such a long talking on that, that is the problem. Not having a cup of tea, students will tell them usually at night before sleeping, you wish to have a cup of tea, no problem. But the talking on the tea, that's the problem. And the tea is just an excuse. Somebody wrote very nicely that don't join the PPC. What is the PPC? Pavement Panchayat Club. That when on the pavement outside, where the people, especially in Ramzan, Taraweeh, you are tired. 1 hour for Taraweeh you took. You should be going home. But here you are sleeping. And this is also shaitan. When zikr majlis, ta'aleem, you see a person is sleepy. But the minute the majlis is over, then you see everyone is wide awake. When it's time to sleep, then you are wide awake. Time to get up, you are very sleepy. And very hard to get up. But time to sleep, you are wide awake. There is all shaitan who does this. So, don't go outside and join the PPC. And the PPC, the only requirement to join that club is agarbatti, cigarette. And you take out the cigarette now, light up, light up, light up. That we start having a smoke now. And then you start discussing post-mortem of the whole Taraweeh. Who read too fast, who read too slow, who made how many mistakes. This one was like that. That old man is burping so much all the time. This old man is like this. This one has got that problem. All that post-mortem. And whatever little you might have earned, you lose more. Lene ko gaye, dene ke ho gaye. We thought we are going to collect like partners end of the year, sharing their profits. One person as he's driving, he's dreaming, my share will be this so much, 5 million, 10 million. When they made hisab, he saw he has to pay in, he overdrew in the year. Instead of collecting 5, 10 million, he has to pay in 2 million. He has to pay in 5 million. So it mustn't happen that in Ramzan we think we are collecting and then we are paying out more. Instead of Ramzan, what you have to be collecting is huge amounts. But if you still have to be paying in Ramzan also, where are you going to get that earning? Ramzan is the season of earnings. And you didn't earn in Ramzan, then when you have to pay out, then what you're going to pay out? So the years a person should be careful that don't avoid the occasions of it. That is any discussion. And also some friends, they like to sit together until late. Others are making tilawat, and our rule here is, tilawat is in the basement, loud. Mona Musa will explain, anyone wants to read Quran loudly, then go to the basement where nobody sleeps so you don't disturb anyone. So yeah, nobody reads Quran, but in your tent you're sitting with your friend and talking, and it's only a sheet between you and the next tent. Your voice is going to go through. You can't see through perhaps, but your voice goes through, it carries, and you're disturbing other people. Also, what with the disturbance we should keep in mind, which will be announced also, the alarm on our phones. A person has got good niyat, I want to get up 2 o'clock, it's last ashara, I'm going to make lot ibadat. But the poor phone repeats and repeats and repeats, goes on snooze and nobody is getting up. Or others are just being disturbed. So try and avoid that, don't cause any. And some the alarm is on from the time they sleep. The snoring sound, and they're keeping the whole masjid away. And everyone they're keeping away. So we should try our best, what is within our control, that we don't cause inconvenience to anyone. So this hearing, yes, a very important point. Once we were in the Markaz, by Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah gave me very good opportunities, and every day after Bayan, I should go to Hadrat. So Hadrat had a saw on his knee, and his khadims were putting medicine on it. And it was just above the knee. So, and he had his lungi, and the hand was under the lungi, and they were putting the medicine on the saw. Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came in, and he told, that's not right. But he says, it's covered, they're not seeing. He says, it's not permissible to see the sitter. What is not permissible to be seen, is not permissible to be touched also. So that medicine, you'll have to put it yourself, or your wife will have to put it. But another person, though he's a male, but that part of your sitter, which cannot be seen by anyone else, where your knees included, what your navel included, for a man. I'll just digress again a little, remind me I must come on that. Especially our imams, and also those people who read with the mic. A cough comes, and many of us, we don't consider we cough in the mic. And it's a piercing sound through the through the speakers. So try and cover it up, turn your head completely. Some lower their head into the mic. You want to avoid the sound, but you're putting it fully into the mic. So if and some cough you can't control, it just comes suddenly. And some you know it's coming. A sneeze sometimes you can make out, sometimes just out of the blue it comes. That is excuse, you couldn't help it. But where you can, then don't cough into the mic. Don't sneeze into the mic. It makes a loud piercing sound and it pierces the ear. Turn your head away or remove it if you have in that time. Remove it and cough finish. And then put it back again as far as possible. What will you say? So what is not permissible to be seen is not permissible to be touched. What is not permissible, I just want to explain this point. What is not permissible to be spoken is not permissible to be heard. To make ghibat is haram. To lie is haram. To listen to ghibat is also haram. And to speak, to listen to a lie, you know the person is lying, is haram. From there you can understand this films that we watch. And some people, one friend told me, he thanked me so much, he gave me so much duas. He says, through your barakat, my sex life has improved. He says that I used to go home, my wife is in bed, and whatever arrangements all couples have got of theirs, but I'm going to watch a film. And then I watch another film. I come after, and now I'm aroused after what I saw in the film. And she's in a deep sleep. And now I come and wake her up. She's not in a mood, of course, not at all. She's angry, she's upset. And the next morning she doesn't want to give me breakfast also. But since with your teachings, I've stopped watching all these films and all these videos and all those things, TV. Now I go to bed early. We have a wonderful time together as husband and wife. We sleep very nicely. In the morning she gives me a very nice breakfast also. So all these things, we make ourselves so stupid. So this that film is all lies. So to see, to speak a lie is haram. Film is haram from so many aspects, because it's a lie and we're promoting it. We are encouraging it. Those people are proud. We got so many viewers. They keep a record how many people are viewing our film. And they are very proud about it. And Muslims contributing to that. That us watching. So that lie, we are supporting a lie. We are promoting lying and encouraging lying. So to lie is haram. To listen to a lie is also haram. To make ghibat is haram. To listen to ghibat is also haram. Slandering is haram. Speaking bad about somebody, to listen to the slander is also haram. And all propaganda, to make propaganda is haram. To listen to propaganda is also haram. And to follow the news is not permissible for everyone also. News today is lies. And if you are listening to news, the news reader inevitably is a lady. Part of it a man will speak, part of it a woman will speak. On the TV screen, you're listening to news, you say we only keep TV for sports and for news. It's haram. Even for that sports which you are watching, even that news you are watching. Eh? To watch that news also, and it's not for everyone. If you're a public figure, and you control, you have an effect on people's thoughts, your speech, your public, be a Maulana who makes bayans, a mufti who has to give fatwas, he has to know what is happening in the world. But everyone else doesn't. You must be worried. You, and then we complain, I haven't got time for Quran. And there's no barakat in time. All this TV, all these films you are watching, where barakat is going to come? Out of the question. Take out all those things from our lives. So those things, to listen to that haram is also haram. To sit in a gathering of ghibat is also. And many times also remember that ghibat doesn't just start off like that. First, just a casual talk. And here we are sitting, last 10 days have come in. May Allah give us the maghfirat of Ramzan, the rahmat of Ramzan. And with the last 10 days, may Allah give us total salvation and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Anyway, Eid will follow, and everywhere almost families will get together on Eid day. And various discussions will come out in those Eid gatherings. And in there, inevitably, from various dimensions, we will fall into ghibat also. And we will start criticizing, we will start talking. So, in such a case, Allah reward Haji Ahmed Nakhuda sahab, Rahmat Damat Barakatum. We were with Hazrat in the Markaz or in the Jamiat office in Delhi, and somebody came and he started criticizing another group of ulama going on. So Haji sahab, first time I saw in my life, we were young still at that time, and he openly told that person, don't speak like this, it's ribat, it's haram, it's not haram. He said, no, these are facts and I have to speak about it. Then Haji sahab stood up and he made me and Maulana Abbas, my brother-in-law, we were sitting with him, he made us also stand up. And he told, come, let us go away. Now that person had no audience. So now he won't speak, of course. And remember, when you land your ears, you are being there, you are giving the audience. You are now allowing that ghibat to take place. So you just excuse yourself. And I usually say, if you haven't got that courage, you feel today to stay away from haram, or to encourage haram, we haven't got the courage. We encourage it. Somebody is making, like we are watching, all the whole family is watching a film on the TV. Somebody decided to put it on. You are sitting as a mother there, as a father with your children. Today we don't have the curry. We say they'll feel bad if I get up and go. For haram, if they are eating poison and you're feeling shy to get up and go away. You are worried they're going to be hurt. If they want to be hurt, agar wo ghoo khate ho to khane do, tum kyu unke saath ghoo khao. If they are eating the S word, and you are shy to tell them, so you join them also. What does that make sense? But this, that is also a question of that level of iman, that you can see it's the S word, that you can see it's urine that they are having. You see the guna, which is worse than that also. May Allah Ta'ala save us, and let us keep rozas of the ears also. And then our rozas will be complete, our whole poor body keeps rozas also. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alil
hamd. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's an important announcement. Those who are sitting for Sunnah i'tikaf, inshallah, they will be making their intention now. There is one main condition for i'tikaf, Sunnah i'tikaf, not to leave the masjid boundaries for even 1 second, except for necessity. The only necessity where a person can leave this masjid is to go to the toilet to relieve himself, or for faraz ghusl. Besides that, if he just wants to make wudu, there are facilities downstairs to make wudu. The boundaries of the masjid is this whole area until the glass doors, and the wings also until the glass doors is part of the masjid. The first, the both wings part of the masjid, besides the toilet area and the wuzu khana area. And the top floor, the second floor, is the whole part is masjid also. And the down floor, the basement, is also part of the masjid until where the barrier, we've got tables there, we've got the red mark, tape. So until that barrier is part of the masjid, a person should not pass that area for even 1 second, mistakenly, knowingly, otherwise the etiquette will break. So this is the most important thing. We should be particular to stay within the boundaries of the masjid. If we have to make wuzu and we are not going toilet, there are facilities downstairs, we should make our wuzu there. One other important thing is, inshallah, now to break our iftari, those who are sitting for sunnat i'tikaf, only they should break their roza in the masjid. All the other brothers who are sitting for nafal, or who have just come for the program, a humble request to go outside the masjid. There is not enough place in the masjid for all the brothers, so they should break their roza outside. After the Maghrib Salah, supper will be served in the basement. So we should proceed to the basement. We can read our awabin namaz, but make our awabin short. Don't delay too long, because the brothers who are making khidmah downstairs, they also have to eat, they have to prepare for Isha Salah. So after our Maghrib Salah, we read a short awabin, and then we proceed as quickly as possible for our meals. Inshallah, after the Isha Salah, after the program, we will discuss in detail again all the rules and regulations of the Itikaf program. Lakhi was tawfiq.